Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
So if I was going to give this episode a title, I think I would call it Part 2 of the Young Elizabeth Elliot. And we've got Mary Perrow in studio with Robin and I, and we so enjoyed Episode 1, yes. But we weren't able to finish it. But what was really astounding is to note all the setbacks that Elizabeth had and her perseverance to go forward. And we did another one about another woman, which was called Elizabeth Undaunted, was the name of the book that I had read. But I almost feel maybe that's something with the name Elizabeth, that they're just undaunted, that they just keep going. And so she had been assigned to Ecuador, something she didn't expect, wasn't the country she was expecting. She had to learn Spanish, and then, but she's a linguist. So mm-hmm. as she's in Ecuador, she finds this amazing man who is able to help her with the Quito language, right?
With the Colorado tribe.
Colorado tribe, that's
yeah,
right.
So the Colorado language is what she's working on.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then his name was?
Macario.
Macario, and he died.
Yes.
He was killed. He was murdered.
Oh, my gosh.
Even worse.
Yes.
That was dramatic.
It was very dramatic.
And then she had some roommates, but one of the were the hardships that she was just fine with. I mean, she didn't seem to mind any of the deprivations or the new food or the, you know, hot weather or the rain. It was these other setbacks of like losing somebody so close,
yeah,
who she was really bonded with and able to use for translating the language.
Yeah, and so, absolutely. And it's really interesting that you bring that up, the other hardships of just yes. life in the jungle that might, you know, for a lot of us would be a big change.
Right.
And it was for
challenge,
her too, of
right.
course, but those were lesser things. But she does talk about some of these challenges in the book, which were really fun to read about. I think her bigger issue wasn't necessarily the challenges, but it was the tension that she was struggling with always between trying to set your mind to be about the Lord's business mm-hmm. and also we have to live. And what is the balance between? Because life for all of us takes up a lot of time, but you're more aware of that when you're in a foreign place where you are really aware of the things that need to be done. We need to go down to the river to get water. We have to find the wood mm-hmm. to heat the stove. So she really struggled with that tension. And I think that's something we could all relate to. I certainly do.
Well, another distraction for her at the same time is that Jim Elliot, who she'd been deeply in love with.
Oh, yes.
But had put him on the altar, so to speak, in order to serve the Lord, is now saying, you know, I think you can take me off the altar and maybe accompany me to the altar.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. He's kind of rethinking things
yes.
a bit. Yeah.
So the correspondence is getting pretty romantic.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So she's dealing with that as well, as are some of the other, there's four single ladies at this station where she's at in San Miguel de los Colorados. And the other women were also single young women, their mid-20s, early 30s, who were also dealing with some of the same struggles. You know, people in the clearing, the, you know, locals, if you know, to call them that, would say, like, hey, why aren't you married? They're being asked this. And she's also struggling a lot with, you know, I'm getting these very, I mean, you know, maybe steamy letters from the love of her life that she's been kind of waiting. He'd been just this whole time really wanting to hear from the Lord. I love you, but I'm not sure if this is what God has for us, but the letters are kind of indicating that we might be moving in that direction. So she's got a lot of hurry up and wait. She's got a lot of trying to stay focused on the work in front of her. And also, I'm in love with someone who's on the other side of the jungle. So, yeah, there's a lot of tension.
You know, it's interesting, too, because Elizabeth Elliot, as we have seen in previous podcasts, was a very strong woman. And yet she was willing to let Jim lead.
Yeah.
There were no ultimatums to Jim.
Mm-hmm.
No threats, mm-hmm. or you're going to lose me, nothing like that. She's willing to wait and let Jim hear from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's so admirable.
I think so, too. Having read through a few of her other books and some of the letters, I feel like if I was her friend, I would have been like, leave him, hun. But you can kind of look back and see that it really was the Lord and there were things happening, which, you know, just speaks to trusting your own relationship with the Lord, right?
Yes.
Maybe as you, when you're in these romantic relationships, that sometimes you get counsel that's good and sometimes not so good. That mine certainly would have been good counsel for them, but... anyway, so shall we continue?
Let's do it.
Please.
Okay, so Elizabeth is, as when we last shared, and as Cheryl did such a great job recapping for us, she's serving in San Miguel de los Colorados, which is, you know, it's about a day's trip on the back of a banana truck over the Andes Mountains, and then another
And
horse
these
ride.
Were curvaceous mountains.
Yes.
I remember her talking about how, circular and how winding the path was on a truck on the back of a truck would be so. I mean, I'd be nauseated.
So she's gone over and then she's taken
an altitude too.
Exactly, taken a horseback ride. You know, through the mud to San Miguel de los Colorados. She's trying to write or create an alphabet for the Tzafiki language, which is the language of the Colorado tribe that is in the nearby local jungle. And this is really what she's spending her days doing. She's now that her informant, Macario, has passed away tragically, as we shared earlier, she's trying to continue, you know, getting the information that she needs without this informant. And as we shared, she's really struggling with this tension between I felt called to do this, and yet things don't seem to be going the way I hoped.
And question why? The
right.
question why, which we all have had those times, like, why,
yes.
if this is your will, why?
Absolutely. And she wrote shortly after Macario died, it was a long time before I came to the realization that it is in our acceptance of what is given that God gives himself. Even the Son of God had to learn obedience by the things that he suffered. He had come for only one purpose. Quote, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And his reward was desolation and crucifixion. And she said, you know, Amy Carmichael, who was a huge influence for Elizabeth, she quoted Amy Carmichael in her book saying, but these strange ashes, Lord, this nothingness, this baffling sense of loss, son, was the anguish of my stripping less upon the torturing cross. So these are kind of the big lessons that she's learning in her first year of learning to let go, learning to accept, learning to see that, you know, perhaps a wounding from the Lord. I felt called, and yet this doesn't look like what I expected it to be. So she's in the midst of all this. And as Cheryl shared, she's also got this love that she's, you know, kind of keeping her going a bit. And at long last, she gets a letter from Jim saying, meet me in Quito in 3 days. With trembling hands, she opens the letter. Could it be? Could it be? And sure enough, when she arrives in Quito, they spend a few days together and he does propose and feel that the Lord has opened the door for them to get married. She's very excited. And of course, they have a romantic few days. They share a few kisses. But there was one stipulation that Jim Elliot had for their, you know, impending marriage. And that was, I will not marry you until you learn the Quechua language, which was the language group of where he was, or the language of the people where he was working on the eastern side of the Andes. So not only.
She is motivated.
Yeah, she's motivated now. She's been waiting years for this man to hear from the Lord. And again, admirably so, waiting. And it's finally the time. And he says, but not yet. She's got more waiting to do. And she has more work to do. She's not done with the Colorado language.
Right.
She still needs to finish the job, right? She can't just pack it up. So she accepts his terms, and gladly so, I think, but she is definitely motivated to work on the
Tzafiki language. It's a good thing she's a linguist.
Yes,
right. Right. I do think, though, I notice even in my own life, you know those times when something happens that totally motivates you to get work done, and now all of a sudden you're getting things done much quicker than you were.
It's true.
And you start to realize,
deadlines.
Like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I wasn't that motivated when you originally called me to do it, but now there's some deadline or another project I'm excited about or a marriage proposal, and suddenly I'm working very quickly for the Lord's glory. Just the humanity in it. tickles me.
So anyway, she heads back to San Miguel de los Colorados. She's working on the language and she finishes it. And I think I shared a little bit of this in the previous episode. But when she finishes the Colorado language, she really did feel there was an excitement and also this feeling of, I didn't get it done quick enough. And I really thought, Lord, that I should have gotten it done quicker. And this, you know, this again, she's really dealing with this tension. That's a constant thing in her life. So she spends some time working with Doreen and Dorothy, the other single women missionaries there, teaching them how to share what she's created is the alphabet and a primer so that they can begin teaching the Colorado tribe how to read their own language. So they have a small school there at the mission station at this time, and she's kind of giving them a lesson in, you know, here's the materials I have. She's got the Tzatziki alphabet. She has a basic primer for them to begin to learn reading, and she's ready to go now. Over to where Jim is in Shandia, which is on the eastern side of the jungle. She's very excited. She turns over the work to them, to Dorothy and Doreen, and heads over to Shandia. And not too long after, she was in the Shandia Mission Station. Lesson number, what are we on at this point? Yeah. I think this is lesson number three. She gets a letter from Doreen that the suitcase full of all of her notes, all of the alphabet of Tzatziki for the Colorado tribe, all of the primer, it's gone.
Oh, dear.
It was placed on the back of another banana truck. That's how things were carried in and out to town. And sure enough, it has disappeared. Can you imagine a year's worth of work?
Yeah. It puts me in mind, my mother-in-law had just finished her thesis. And their house burned down the next morning. She lost everything. And it was just, how do you start over again?
Yeah. Especially a thesis.
And
all
to
the
recover.
Research.
Yeah. Yes.
Just
and
the
but really,
bibliography
Elizabeth,
alone.
It's yeah. so much of her, Lord, I did what you asked me to do. Can
exactly.
you maybe explain a little bit why this is your plan? It does not make sense.
None of this makes sense.
Wow.
She's looking around and everything feels like a loss.
I'm glad I'm not the only one, aren't you?
Right.
Wow.
So
yeah.
First she's seen Maruja passed away. That was lesson number one, along with her child. And it was just tragic. And Lord, I really thought that you were going to do something there, that you could have showed up and perhaps this entire family would have come to the Lord, but you didn't. And I don't understand that. Mm. But she was kind of able to set that one aside. You know, they weren't members of our church or what we were doing. And so maybe I could understand that, Lord. But then she moves on to that second lesson where her friend, her colleague, her informant, Macario, had been tragically murdered. Lord, this was the man that you had put here to help me do this work, and he's gone, and I've got to push on without him. And I don't, again, it's another strange ashes.
Yes.
I don't understand what you're doing, Lord. Now she's at the third one, a year's worth of work, all gone. So Elizabeth, as I shared, she's actually not in Shandia. I misspoke earlier. She's nearby at one of the mission stations waiting to go. Shandia is a mission station where Jim is. And she is running kind of the radio station missionary network for the missionaries there. And she gets word that from Jim that there's been a flood and everything in Shandia that he'd been working on is completely lost. All the buildings he'd been working on for a year, all the mission stations he'd been putting together, their home, the wood for their future home after they got married, everything is lost. And so Elizabeth is really like working through all of these. She says, it was only gradually during the months that followed that I saw that to God, nothing is finally lost. All the scriptural metaphors about the death of the seed that falls into the ground, about losing one's life, about becoming the least in the kingdom, about the world's passing away, all these go on to something unspeakably better and more glorious. Faith, prayer, and obedience are our requirements. We are not offered in exchange immunity and exemption from the world's woes. What we are offered has to do with another world altogether.
True. Ouch. It's still painful, but wow. Yeah. It's beautiful the way she was able to articulate that.
Yeah.
And so close to, it seems, fairly close to the events themselves, sometimes it takes a decade where you go, you know, I can see where that was good, but in the moment.
In the moment.
But you also see how, in some ways, it's something that's going to bind her and Jim together because they'll both understand disappointment.
Yes.
Because I don't know that Jim could understand her profound disappointment, having worked on the language for so long and then to lose it on the back of all places, a banana truck. I mean, that, you know how sometimes things seem so senseless and you feel responsible for it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a flood, you're not responsible
right.
for. But, like, maybe if I had positioned it better, if I had been watching it on the back of the banana truck, this might not have happened. But I think Jim now can relate to that disappointment. And they can say, as you had said before, we share
yes.
this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, she did talk about that. And to your point about, you know, kind of coming together with the lessons from it, that she felt that, like, kind of dumbfounded, like the work off the back of the banana truck. Almost, should I be angry with the person who put the suitcase on the banana truck? Mm. Or, you know, all these feelings. I'm furious with whoever stole it or took it or just undoubtedly threw the paper away and didn't realize how priceless it was. And I totally agree. I think it would be a little trite to say, well, all these lessons were
right.
preparing
all
her
things.
For
yeah.
what was future,
yeah.
you know.
Or even all things work together. It's not the time for a platitude.
Yeah,
or some scriptures.
No.
There's a process to work through. And I think that really speaks to you, our listeners, that sometimes we place these expectations on ourselves just to get over it or just to get beyond it. And God's not placing those same expectations on us. He allows us to process.
Yes.
And to talk it through. And what you have in These Strange Ashes is a lot of her processing, a lot
yes.
of her mental and spiritual processing. You know, she didn't just love the quote by Amy. I mean, anyone who's read Amy Carmichael, there are some quotes, like you said, Robin, that are just ouch. Like, you know, I hope I don't have to experience this,
right.
you know, personally. But she had to come to a place. Amy Carmichael is famous for writing that poem, Only in Acceptance Lies Peace, not in resignation, not in a busyness. And this is something that I have heard personally Elizabeth Elliot quote and
really?
Speak publicly more than once, you know.
Yes. Yeah, I think that one of the many things I love so much about this book is, as you said, she is really processing. You hear a young Elizabeth who's working through her faith, someone, we know her story. We know what's coming in her future with Jim's death. And we can kind of see the pieces all together here. But she, in this moment, doesn't know this. This is a devastating loss. And I also love that even here in this book, which she wrote a number of years later, she had the maturity to even... I'm not going to tie this up in a bow. These are strange ashes.
Mm-hmm.
She's still not.
I love the word strange also because they're unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think, you know, my parents aren't going through this. People I know in other mission fields aren't going through this. And you could easily say, well, why me? Am I going the wrong direction? Was this something you never had for me, Lord? Is this my problem? It's kind of that age-old tension that all of us go through, and that's, is this something that I've done wrong and God's trying to teach me something, or is this just simply the will of God and the way things go? And there's a tension between those two.
Definitely.
It's not easily reconciled.
Right.
Yes, sometimes you don't know.
Mm-hmm. And
strange is such a great word because think about how in the King James Version, Old Testament, Exodus, where God calls his people his peculiar treasure. And it's strange, it's peculiar, but it's also a treasure. And what she's gone through is that
absolutely
experience. Well, anyways, we have.
It also reminds me of Hebrews, is it 11, where we're talking about all the saints of faith and all the people who've gone before. But at the very end, it says, and these all died without seeing the promise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that blows my mind every time I read this. Like, wait a minute, some were beaten, some were starved, some, you know, went without clothing and all these things. And these all died without seeing the promise. And it just kind of overwhelms me to think, and here I stand on the other side. Here we stand. We can look back. We have the promise. The promise has come to fruition in Jesus and his birth and his death and his resurrection and his ministry and life. But there were, you know, so, there's still these moments of suffering.
Well, okay. And then you've got in 1 Peter, Peter says, don't think it's strange. Oh, sorry, 2 Peter, the fiery trial that has come to try you. And again, the way you get through is to know this is par for the course. This is just what happens. You've got an enemy, and it's Satan. And God will take even the worst that Satan does, and he will use it for... For as we can see, it was preparatory for Elizabeth because we know the rest of the story. And she had to learn to deal with disappointment. It was interesting to me because she dealt with so much disappointment in her life, as you get the fuller story. I mean, not only Jim's death, but her inability to get along with Rachel Saint. Moving back, marrying again, her second husband dying of brain cancer, who, again, she thought, how is this possible that there's two loves? And then thirdly, a kind of a difficult marriage. And there were other setbacks. But she chose to call her program, her radio program, Gateway to Joy. And I really like that because my mom suffered depression. And she chose to name the Bible study Joyful Life.
Right.
Because there is a joy that is beyond circumstances that both these godly women, and they were only a year apart in age, that both these godly women tapped into.
And
choice, that's a deeper joy.
The choice to enter into that joy.
Well, the end of the story,
yes.
I mean, there's no bow on this story. That's that was her first year. I mean, they get married, but she doesn't include that in the book. But at the very end of the book, she writes a little epilogue, which I just think is a really nice way to close. Years later, she's at a getting ready for a speaking event. And the night before the event, she spends some time with the pastor and the pastor's wife. And the pastor's wife has read These Strange Ashes. And she shares with Elizabeth what a powerful book it was for her while she was going through a divorce.
Wow.
Elizabeth said, you know, she was quite surprised that you would be ministered to. I mean, a divorce is a very different situation than what Elizabeth had gone through during that first year. But, you know, she said thank you and whatnot. And the next day she shared at the church about, she was talking on the topic of These Strange Ashes. And someone at the end said, you know, did you ever feel like you understood what God was doing? Was there ever a moment that you kind of felt like, oh, this is what it was all about? And Elizabeth said, oh, yes, yesterday evening. And the person, the pastor's wife, was very confused. What are you talking about? And she said, well, when you shared that my story had been used by God to minister to you, that's it.
That's it.
You know, she'd held out hope for so long that that suitcase would show up. All the other ones, there's no hope. But that suitcase, it never showed up. And yet, how much we're all ministered to by these stories of loss, working through your faith, struggling with what, you know, God, I don't understand why. There's a period in my life. I highly recommend this book. If you're, you know, one of our listeners, you're struggling, you're having a hard time, you're unsure.
Somebody has it worse.
Yes. Right.
So
you can cry along with Elizabeth.
Yes. I'm so glad. And go back and listen to the first couple of, there's one other podcast about Elizabeth Elliot.
I think Kathy Gilbert did too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's a few others that we should include in our
show. And Kathy Gilbert was friends with Elizabeth Elliot. So she, you know, loved her life. In fact, she's kind of our expert on Elizabeth Elliot, all things Elizabeth. She's read every biography. Actually, she had a signed copy of A Path Through Suffering, and I set it aside to give it back, and Brian thought it was a book for Goodwill and got rid of it.
Oh, no.
And it was her signed, you know, to Kathy, my dear friend. So, yes, I still feel guilt over that. But again, these strange ashes. Yeah. Why did these things happen?
Yeah, shout out to Kathy Gilbert, yes, who also gave me this book because I'd given away my copy so many times. So thank you, Kathy Gilbert.
Well, make sure you don't set it in a pile that might go to Goodwill. That's all I have to say. Hey, Mary, thank you so much for bringing out this aspect of young Elizabeth's life and some of the setbacks that she went through, but she persevered through in order to serve the Lord in Ecuador.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones-Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones-Gunn.